Hello friends, Venkat Iyer is again back. I'm talking on chapter 10, compensation administration. The purpose for which we are all working in an organization is to get the money and the additional benefits which the companies give, right? Now, all the functioning of how to make this compensation happen, structuring it, running it on an ongoing basis is what is compensation administration. First, we fix it for different levels, for different job functions, and then running the whole thing as an operations, making the changes as and when necessary, that is coming under compensation administration, right? So let's get on with it. Objectives: after studying this chapter, you should be able to understand the nature and importance of compensation. It's very, very critical. Lots of emotions are run because of compensation not being properly understood, not being properly communicated, not being properly structured. Many things are a part of it. The various factors affecting compensation, the different components of compensation, structure, nature and importance of compensation, factors affecting compensation, various components of compensation, and I've introduced this state of art discussion on cost to the company, C2C, which many people have been asking me to talk about in the classroom also. And finally, we end up with a summary. So we get along with, we come to 10.1, which is nature and importance of compensation. Compensation is a total reward received by an employee in exchange for services performed for an organization. Total reward. Total reward being combination of monetary and non-monetary. It can include both direct pay, salary and wages, and indirect pay, which is benefits programs. In order to provide additional incentive to attract quality employees as well as keep competent workers who are already associated with the company, many businesses offer a compensation package that is much more detailed than a simple salary or a wage. They give you a lot of add-ons. A company X will give you add-on 5. Somebody will give you more than 5, maybe 6, 7, 8. So they try to make it as attractive as possible so that you don't migrate to the competitor, right? The compensation package may include a number of other benefits, including insurance, employee discounts, extended leave, and retirement programs. Compensation packages may vary greatly from one industry type to the next. Service sector will have one type of compensation package, which is more or less congruent. Manufacturing may have something different. Within the service also, compensation package may vary from service sector to service sector, different industries, right? Nature and importance of compensation. The fair compensation system enable the following. Number one, positive impact on output and efficiency, encouraging employee to perform better. When the compensation system is seen as fair and square by the employee, he will definitely give you a better output and he will have a very positive outlook towards his work. Number two, it enhances the process of job evaluation. What is job evaluation? I try to know the value of a job by making a job study. And this evaluation will decide the criticality of the job in the company. There are different jobs which are having different critical positions. The person at the top, the CEO, his job evaluation, his value is very high as compared to the people below the line. So every job evaluation is done with an idea that it should be linked with the reward system or the compensation system. So when you have a proper compensation which is properly structured, the process of job evaluation becomes easier. It prevents the exploitation of labor. If you did not have a compensation system, the dispersal of wages and salaries would be done arbitrarily based on somebody's whims and fancies. So there will be an exploitation of people. Number four is raises the morale, efficiency and cooperation among workers. They have used the word workers, I would say employees. So it raises the employee's morale, he's willing to do things on his own, his efficiency, and his cooperation when he's working with people and the company. A fair compensation system enables the following, continuing further, it helps the management in complying with various labor acts. Compensation system is usually a type of a structure which is in line with the labor laws of the land. It enables to solve disputes between management and employee unions because there is something structured, something defined, something accepted. So the question of dispute doesn't come. If it was not there, then there is a problem of disputes. Some homegrown companies, you know, they do not have a compensation system clearly articulated. They arbitrarily give people increments, they arbitrarily promote some people. And in such companies, you find a lot of toxic energy because people are not happy with the disparity among themselves by the management. Seventh point is provides growth and advancement opportunities to deserving employees. A fair compensation system ensures that people are given due compensation for the work that they do and the promotion that they achieve. So they get a type of an opportunity to advance. The irritation of, you know, suspecting anything is out there, more focused into the job function and the career growth. It helps in minimizing labor turnover or attrition. When the compensation is very clear to people, it's fair and square, then people would not leave the company because it is a very major important driver, or although it is not the driver, to a person staying in a company, right? What are the factors affecting compensation? As usual, there are internal and external factors. Internal to the company, external to the company. The external factors, it starts with the labor market. Demand and supply of labor affects compensation. Okay? If there is more demand of labor and less is supply, then you will be offering a better package to them. Conversely, if the supply is more and the demand is less, then for certain critical jobs, you'll be negotiating with them and giving them not a very attractive package, you'll actually hold it back. This happens in many companies. So labor market has got a fluctuating demand supply of labor, and that in turn affects your compensation package or compensation factors. Labor unions, presence or absence of labor unions determines compensation to be paid. Labor unions negotiate. They have what are called a charter of demands from time to time. And they will arm twist you, or they will rather tell you this is what we need. They may be right in their own way, you may be right in your own way, but ultimately this is affecting the compensation package. Cost of living. The cost of living reduces the real wages. So what was costing 100 rupees at one point of time is today costing 120 rupees. So there is an inflation. So the cost of living is showing you how the inflation is galloping ahead. And that is factored in the compensation. It's supposed to be. Labor laws. Payment of Wages Act 1936, all are listed there. Minimum Wages Act 1948, the Payment of Bonus Act 65, Equal Remuneration Act 1976, and the Payment of Gratuity Act 1972. These are all frameworks that need to be incorporated in a robust and a fair compensation system. These acts, when they keep changing, for example, we've got a fifth pay commission. All of us are aware of it. That is incorporated in companies and in certain public sectors in a very proper manner, so that the compensation is going in line with the labor laws of the land. Then the society. How does society affect the compensation of your company? In society, there are people who are living, they are buying and consuming goods. And every society has got its own way of living, its own style of living, or rather its own behavioral habits. Now, based on the behavioral habits from region to region, the compensation will be different. For example, in a metro city like Mumbai, our society is one which is very indulgent in consumer goods and consumer activities. So the compensation expected from here is very high. Now, if the same company is having an office in a remote town or remote village, the society's expectations of a large package is not much, because their needs, their lifestyles are different. So that's how it affects. Then the economic conditions, obviously. When the country is going through inflation, when the country is going through an economic problem issue, it affects the compensation you can't pay, because the country goes through, they would like to have more taxes on you, on the corporate. So when they tax you more, you'll find that you can pay, you may have a compensation package which is lesser than when the economic condition of the country is better. So this is something we have also done in principles of management when we do pest analysis, right? Internal factors to the company, within the company, what are the internal factors? Business strategy, growth strategy results in higher compensation, while maintenance strategy results in lower compensation. If the company is carrying on business, COB we call it, then you may not really increase salary compensation. You may give the annual increment or whatever and be done with it. But when the company is ambitious, it is growing in business strategy, it has a growth, it wants to diversify, it has to go into some organic growth or inorganic growth, at that point of time, they will look for more talents. They would go in for training and development of their existing personnel. Now, that will result in giving them higher compensation. Performance appraisal, improved performance gets higher compensation. Okay, and not always true. Improved performance appraisal, the purpose of PA is only to determine whether you have done your promise of the last year. Also, to take a structure for the future, project what you're going to do for the next year. That is the basic idea of the performance appraisal. Having said that, people who have done very well, they also get rewarded by giving them a higher compensation. But that is not the purpose of a performance appraisal. I'll speak about it in the performance appraisal module. Okay? Employee related factors like performance, seniority, experience, etc., they affect compensation. It is related to the employee. How good the employee is? Does he deserve it? Has he performed well? Is he senior? Is he having a merit experience? All those things are also part of the compensation which affect the company and the person. Various components of compensation. What are the different terminology? What are the different types of compensation? One is wages. It's paid for people who are not permanent in the company, as you know. Hourly rates paid, or they pay them on a weekly basis. So there are three definitions: minimum wage, fair wage, and living wage. Okay. So those are the minimum you have to pay as per rules of the land. Slightly better is the fair wage. It is FAIR, fair, not FARE. FAIR wage and living wage. Living wage is the best among the three in terms of daily wage, in terms of daily amount that you're receiving. Salary is paid on a monthly basis to permanent employees of the company. That's a term given for that. Bonus is an annual short-term incentive based on profits of the company, performance of the employees, and in some cases, targets. Historically, bonus used to be the term used for profit sharing of the company with the employees. Today, it has got a new connotation. They are also talking about the performance of the employees is factored into it. And also in case of targets, they are calling that as a bonus today, right? Commission, paid to employees who achieve certain preset sales targets. Stock options, long-term benefits offered in terms of shares at fixed prices. They care for you, the company is doing well, an IT company, for example, give you ESOPs, employee stock options, they call it. Okay? And they'll tell you at this price, which is lower than the market price of the quoted share in the stock market, they'll offer you X number of shares, quite substantial amount. And for paying that, they also give you easy installment payment deducted from your salary. And there's a lock-in period of some 3 or 4 years or whatever, after which you can sell the share, that too in partial ratios, partial quantities. If the company is really doing well, stock options gives you a good fortune. But if the company is not doing well, then the stock option become a liability. There are taxes on the profits, etc. So many issues are there. But this is the intention of giving the stock option is a very good feel-good intention for the company. The company has to also perform well in the market so that when you sell, you'll be able to get a good benefit out of it. Then comes perquisites or perks, club membership, furnished homes, reimbursement of medical expenses, telephone bills, all things which are acting, are assisting your conveniences, which are making your life much more easier, your personal life much more easier. These are the perquisites, not directly the salary. Okay? Then comes life insurance, medical insurance or Mediclaim as you call it. Okay? Pension, fixed sum received upon retirement, contributory or non-contributory. That is either you contribute or they contribute or both. So this is pension, a fixed amount received to you every month. Either you can take it lump sum or they give you every monthly. Usually it is monthly. Gratuity, lump sum amount paid to the employee at retirement, calculated as a basic salary of each completed year. Supplemental pay leave, paid for time not worked, like holidays, maternity leaves, sick leave, paternity leaves, etc. Okay. Now I come to the C2C, cost to the company. In recent times, a new system of compensation has been in practice in many companies, which is termed as C2C. They call it CTC, C2C, or cost to the company. Cost to the company includes the cost that the company incurs on the employees, not just the monthly compensation, perks and bonus, but also the cost it incurs on maintaining, motivating and developing the employee. Today, organizations are looking at you as a cost which is supposed to become an investment. They are calling it cost, although I would like to call it investment to the company, because every human resource is an investment to the company and every human resource gives you return on investment, ROI. Now, this terminology is still not come. We are still calling it C2C. Cost to the company covers the intangible which are offered to the employee for his role and growth. There are certain factors like a holiday 2 years from now, that'll be costing so much. The cost of training you, there are so many things which are intangible. Those are made into a tangible, some working is done and they factor it and they say that this is what is a C2C we are offering you, right? C2C has been in practice because the organization connects its cost to the expected output by the employee. They're incurring quite a lot of resources on you in today's working. They send you for training, good offices, very good working conditions, travel, etc. So all this, they would like to ensure that you are loyal to them, you work with them and you give effectiveness. So when they give this connotation of a cost, it is expected that the employee starts showing a reciprocal behavior in terms of being very responsible and being more committed to what he or she does. This is the basic expectation by implementing a C2C. They want to increase your productivity. They want to see that you are loyal and they also want to know that you are responsible enough to know that the company is spending so much on you. That's a basic idea. When the employee is made to realize that the organization bearing cost towards him besides what is obvious, like salary, PF, gratuity, etc., the commitment and the motivation of the employee is supposed to be higher than usual. The C2C concept, moreover, raises the chances of the employee perceiving his or her role with a larger picture in mind. Chances of employee engagement and their retention would be high. This is what is expected. Good managements are supposed to do that and they are very good in doing that. Unfortunately, C2C has some features which are not clear to many employees unless they communicate and ask for details at the time of taking up the job offer. Some unscrupulous companies, sorry to say this, they give a C2C figure and they do not communicate very clearly, convincingly to the employee that this is what is a breakup. As a result of this, as the days progress, as the months progress and the employees have started performing, he feels cheated. One of the reasons why many companies, we have people leaving the company when the C2C is not clear. C2C has to be done with a lot of integrity. It should be done with a good interest and should be conveyed to the concerned employee. Many employees are confused about what is C2C and they feel it is a type of a strategy against them, which is not true. Okay. There are two components, financial and non-financial, and the two time frames, medium and long term, that needs to be understood. Imagine a 2x2 matrix, financial, non-financial, medium and long term. Now, you have to fit all the four properly. It's very, very important that you do it to understand C2C. Financial, medium, you may get it. Financial, long term, also you may get it. But non-financial, medium and long term, that needs explaining. It's a function of the company's culture, the function, the way the company wants to treat its HR, the human resources. It's all that is affected in that. C2C quantifies into monetary terms both the financial and the non-financial compensation given to the employee. While the financial part is clear, the non-financial part is highly complex and needs skillful person to understand how it is created and to explain it to the employee. It's very important that the person who's handling C2C communication with a prospective employee who's joining the company, that person should be trained into telling the employee very clearly, this is what is C2C, this is a breakup. In some cases, they just say, don't worry, you join, we'll take care of you. No, it doesn't happen that way. So it's important that that should be clear from the top management, that it should be conveyed properly so that the trust element gets multiplied only when this is clear at the beginning. As a gatekeeper of the company, the HR is supposed to do this. Again, C2C breakup has component which impacts the employee in his near or medium term in terms of take-home changes and those which are to impact this take-home in the long run. There are certain things that impact the person's take-home. Now, let's discuss take-home. What's a take-home? Take-home is that particular amount. After all the deductions, you're getting a paycheck every month. That's your take-home. The take-home runs your home. And the home, when it is run, it has got a certain lifestyle you adopt based on the take-home. Is it not a fact? Now, that lifestyle should not get disrupted. It may not get enhanced, but it should not get disrupted. So, you must know how your take-home is connected with the C2C that is given to you by the company. The C2C is X, the take-home is Y. You must know how the connection happens. And when you're joining a new company, you must know how this your take-home will translate into higher take-home by knowing the C2C in that company. It's very important. Thus, the HR department has to clearly state to the employee about these aspects so that the decision-making to join the company is facilitated. Important thing is trust. You see, I can hire a person, but if certain things are not revealed to him by default, not by design, if the company is crooked, it's a different issue altogether. The company is a good company, good intentions are there, but many times this is not conveyed properly, it is not communicated properly by the concerned person. The trust factor gets hanging in the air. Then people start distrusting. So make it very clear for every question asked by the employee about the C2C, give him all the necessary breakup and tell him clearly this is what we are. So he knows what he's walking into. Okay? Take-home compensation. Conventionally, employees have been used to understand their monthly home check amounts easily when the components of compensation were monetary in nature. In the past, whenever we talk about take-home or salary, it was all monetary. It was easy to understand. After introduction of C2C, there has been a lot of confusion over how to comprehend the connection between the two, C2C and take-home. Especially when an employee is being hired to negotiate a compensation using C2C gets challenging. I already explained to you. It is important to compare take-home that is existing to take-home expected and communicate it clearly when the C2C breakup is not clear in the mind of the employee. There's a C2C of company A where I'm working, I'm getting a take-home. There's a C2C proposed by the company where I'm going to be joining, there I'll be getting an expected take-home. So I must draw a very clear clarity about this is the expected take-home that I'm surely going to get. Because this is what irritates people. If I get a take-home here, let's say I'm getting a take-home of 1 lakh per month, existing company, and I go to the new company, and I'm taking it for granted, the C2C is higher than my existing company. What is my assumption? My assumption is that I'll be getting more than 1 lakh. But wonder of wonders, in many cases, that C2C, you haven't clarified its breakup. If the breakup is not clarified, you may land up getting less than 1 lakh. That will affect your home and will create anguish. So make sure that the C2C you are properly getting communicated to by the HR people, by the company where you're joining. C2C has been given a bad name, unfortunately, but it's not so bad. Only thing is you have to ensure that you have to make a clarification when you join. It's your duty. Talk to the finance people also if necessary. Tell them this is what I want to know because I really want to join the company. I want to feel secure. Nothing wrong about it. Moreover, employees have their own agenda about time they stay in the company. Hence, the near, the mid and the long-term monetary aspects of the C2C has also to be understood from the point of view. Some people join the company and they leave in a short period of time. C2C's impact will not be much on them. And they'll start blaming C2C. If they are there for a longer period, they know the impact of C2C on them and they're working. What is the purpose ultimately? Companies want you to be there with them, grow with them, and you also grow with them. That's a basic idea. And they're giving you fat compensations today. Why not? As compensation is a very sensitive aspect of an employee's life in the organization, HR needs to clarify the breakup of C2C so that no assumption or misunderstanding occur. So with that, we come to the summary of this chapter. Compensation is a total reward received by an employee in exchange for services performed for an organization. A sound compensation system is a hallmark of an organization's success and prosperity. Compensation is affected by many internal factors such as business strategy, performance appraisal, and employees, and by external factors such as economic conditions, society, labor unions, and labor laws. Wages, salary, bonus, and pensions are a few components of this compensation package which an organization provides to its employees. With this, I conclude this module. Thank you very much for listening, and I'm sure it's added value to you.